States versus West, Mr. Moat.
May it please the court, my name's David Moat and I'm here on behalf of the appellant Ronnie West, who was also known as Ramal Walker. There's a couple of things initially I want to respond to from the government's brief. In the government's brief, they refer repeatedly to Mr. West's motion to suppress being based on a mere assertion by him of ownership. It is our view that under the facts, this isn't based on a mere assertion of ownership by Mr. West, and I'm talking ownership of the duffel bag found behind the driver's seat, because the facts also show that the driver, Ms. Taylor, who had trouble with the difficult question of what is your name, she did tell the officers that she had picked up the passenger at the Super 8 Motel and that was her cousin. And we think that's significant because that combines with Mr. West's assertion when asked about whose bag it is, that it's his bag. And in context of those facts, it is not reasonable for the police to assume that the driver has joint access and control over the bag of a person that she just picked up at the hotel. Not a husband, it's not a direct family member. I also want to point out to this court, contrary to the way the government presents it, that the defendant believes that the cases cited by the government apparently in support of its contention that the defendant ignored authority directly contrary to his argument are in fact consistent, in our view, with this court's ruling in United States versus Melgar, where this court said that the police could do a consent search unless they had reliable information that the person who consented to the search did not have authority to give that consent. The United States cites the Navarro case out of the Fifth Circuit.
But all he said, am I correct, all he said was it's mine?
Correct. Correct.
So how did that signal to the officers that he was negating the consent that she had given?
We're not saying that he was negating her consent. What we're saying is that the combination of the fact that she had told them that she picked up the passenger who was a cousin at a hotel and that he said, it's my bag, was enough to put the officers...
What does a cousin have to do with it?
Well, it might be different if it was a husband and wife situation, in which case I think it would be arguable that that there's joint control over luggage. But in the case of two people who aren't living together, it's our position that knowing
no,
that...
But when she said the officer, told the officer to go ahead and search, what did he say? He didn't say anything.
I think she was actually outside of the car when that consent was...
Where was he?
He was sitting in the passenger seat, and the record shows that another officer then went to the passenger
seat. You're saying he didn't hear her give the consent?
I don't think the record is clear on whether he heard her, but he was told, another officer came to the passenger side, told Mr. West that the driver had consented to the search of the vehicle, asked him to step out, asked for consent to search his person, which they gave, and then they directed him to the rear of the vehicle. And while the vehicle was being searched, he is standing as is the driver, between...
So he knew she had given consent to the search of the car?
Correct.
He didn't say anything?
He did not. He did not, and that is...
Why would they think that just because he said, that's mine, he was withdrawing her consent or something?
We are not saying that he's withdrawing her consent. What we are saying is that at the point he says that the bag is his, they then should know, consistent with Melgar, that she did not have the authority to consent to the search of his personal luggage.
Didn't the officer who was actually looking in that luggage, he was out of range and didn't hear that statement?
Correct. Her testimony is that she doesn't hear it. The record reflects she is a trainee at the time of trial. She hasn't been an officer for a year. But the testimony at the suppression hearing is she's actually been on patrol duty for about a month. She starts on patrol duty in May. This occurs in
but
June.
But she didn't hear him say, it's my bag.
Correct. She does not hear him
and
say
she's
that.
In the process of searching at the time. She's already opened the bag and is in the process of searching when he says it by everybody's...
Correct.
She said she didn't even hear that.
Correct. And and that is why we cite on our brief...
Yes, but your idea is that somehow as soon as the officer heard, not her, not the search, but the other officer, as soon as he hears... your client say, it's mine, he has to rush into the car and say, stop. I now realize consent was never granted to search the duffel bag. That's what you're saying, right?
I am saying that when he gained...
If you be concrete about what you think should have happened, the law required, as soon as he heard it's mine, he rushes into the car and stops the search. That's your picture of what should have happened.
I don't think he has to rush to get there within 90 seconds. But basically, he should say something.
He should say something
to the other officer. Well, he should step back to the car and tell the other officer, who, by the way, is a trainee assigned to him.
It doesn't matter with the trainee or what. Your case wouldn't be any different if she weren't a trainee, would it?
I think it's significant that she's a trainee. I don't think the outcome would be different. Because the case law, which we cite, says that when officers are working closely together, knowledge of one is imputed to the other.
Oh, that's ridiculous. What are you talking about?
That's what the law says.
If that's the law, all this imputed fiction stuff, what difference does it make whether she's a trainee or she's his superior? What difference would that make? To your imputation argument.
If she was a seasoned officer who'd arrived in another car, then they would not, I would not presume they were working as closely together as a trainee is working with
us. It's so unrealistic. You mean if she arrives in a different car, then the officer who hears it's mine has no duty to stop the search? Is that what you're arguing?
I would still say that is information that officer could pass along.
So the trainee's status is completely irrelevant.
Well, it's interesting, though.
It's our position that...
Well, it's irrelevant, isn't it? So we have to worry about it.
It's only relevant in that it establishes that close relationship under the imputation case.
But it doesn't matter when it's a close
relationship.
Your whole point is, the officer, when he hears it's mine, is supposed to stop the search. Go in, stop the search.
Well,
it's being done by the commissioner of police or by his dog.
Do I understand that a trainee works under the direction of the officer with him?
Yes, this is a training officer.
So your theory is that since she is working under his direction, what he knows she has to know.
I'm actually proposing alternative theories. The first is the imputation argument, for which I think it could matter that she's a trainee. The second is, even if you don't impute the knowledge, he in 90 seconds should have stepped back and told her, stop, we should get consent or a warrant.
Well, 90 seconds is maximum. I think it was 30 to 90 seconds.
The judge found it was 90 to 120 seconds after the statement about whose bag it was that the drugs were found. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Moat. Mr. Bass?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Timothy Bass on behalf of the United States. Your Honors, it is the government's position, as is clear from the defendant's brief, that their entire argument rests on the claim that an assertion of ownership by a defendant invalidates a third party's consent to search. And it's not only rests on that point, but on the basis that it invalidates the search after the search had begun. Now, there's no basis in the law for that kind of argument, that kind of an argument of strict liability on the part of the police. The issue is whether the search was reasonable, whether the third party had actual authority over the property or apparent authority. And in the context of a driver...
If her apparent authority evaporates in the middle of the search, shouldn't the search stop then?
Your Honor, if apparent authority... I'm not aware of any case that holds that, but I would not dispute that if the officers have come upon information during the course of the search that the consent is no longer reasonable.
Well, that's Mr. Mote's argument, that as soon as he asserts ownership, the officer should
cease and desist.
Light bulb goes off, he realizes he made some fearful mistake, and he rushes into the car and pulls the trainee off the duffel bag, right?
That's correct, Your Honor, and that, again, rests
on... Sounds silly, but what's wrong with it as a matter of legal reasoning?
Well, what's wrong with it is, again, based on an assertion of a property interest, which the Supreme Court in Matlock and this court in Duran have said is largely irrelevant. The issue is not ownership. The issue is mutual use or joint access and control. And certainly a driver of a car has joint access and control over an unmarked duffel bag behind her seat. The fact that one party in the car asserted ownership of the bag didn't preclude the fact that the driver also might have had ownership in the bag, or at least use of the bag. And even if we go so far as to say, Your Honors, that some ownership interest...
Well, if I take a taxi, the taxi driver can't go rummaging through my briefcase, can he?
No, Your Honor.
But if he just picks up this character and he has a duffel bag, did that entitle her to rummage through his duffel bag?
Well, under those facts, Your Honor, maybe not, but it's important to remember here that the information that was given to the officers at the time that they stopped the car was conflicting. They didn't know at the time who these people were, what their relationship was. They were giving conflicting information as to each other's names and their relationship with one another. So there wasn't a basis for the officers to impute to the officers.
They could have been husband and wife for all they know.
That's correct, Your Honor. So it's important, though, that we're talking about 90-second gap here. The defendant agreed that the consent to search and the initial search of the bag was valid. The question on appeal is whether there was some immediate requirement on the part of the officers to stop searching the bag within 90 seconds of finding the crack cocaine. And there's just no basis to make that finding. Even if we went so far to make that finding, Your Honors, the defendant was told, the district court found, based on the evidence presented at the suppression hearing, that the defendant was told, after he himself consented to a search of his person, that the driver had consented to the car, search of the car. When they found the clothing in the bag, the defendant was asked about the clothing that was found, who owned the bag. The defendant claimed ownership of the bag and still failed to object to the search. Now, under authority in this circuit going back at least as far as 1988, a failure to object to a third party's consent undercuts a later challenge to the search. So if there's any question at all about the defendant's assertion of ownership, which we submit there is not, his failure to object to the search removes any question about its validity. So, Your Honors, if there are no other questions, the government would ask that the judgment be affirmed.
Thank you, Mr. Thank you. Bass. And Mr. Mote, how much time do you have? 1 minute?
Thank you, Your Honors. I would note that 90 seconds is a very long time for an officer who's a car length away from where the search has taken place to stand there and not relay that information. And Mr.
Now, are there other officers there?
Yes.
Whole crowd?
There's a whole crowd at that point. And Mr.
that all assumes that he has a duty simply on the basis of claimed ownership to tell somebody to stop looking.
It does. It does. And
but the your client didn't tell him to stop searching.
He did not tell him to stop searching. The indication or the record shows that he was directed to the back of the car. He wasn't said, you know, gee, if you object, you can go on up. And his knowledge that they were looking in the bag, the district judge found, comes from being asked about price tags in the bag.
Which might have given kind of a hint they'd open it up.
So, yeah, he knows they've opened it up, but it doesn't mean he knows what's going on at the moment. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mode. And you were appointed, were you not? So the court thanks you for your efforts on behalf of your client.
Thank you.